Blog Talk Radio.
Come on. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is Apostle Flowers, and we thank you. I thank you for tuning in to Kingdom Builders International. Yes, this is the first Monday of the month. I'm on every first and third Mondays. Repair the Bridge International Ministry is the name of our church, but the broadcast that you're listening to now is Restorer of Paths to Dwell In. I thank God for internet listeners and for landline listeners, and also cell phone listeners, those of you that have tuned in to listen to this broadcast on this new year. Just want to thank God for a new year, that God allowed us to see a new year. There are many, I'm pretty sure you know somebody that did not make it to see this new year. Maybe even days before the new year even came in, they didn't make it, or even hours or seconds. There was somebody, maybe not in this state, or maybe in this state, or another state or across the globe somewhere, that did not make it to see a new year. But God has blessed you to see another year. And this is another opportunity to be able to do the work of the Lord, to be able to do what God has called for you to do. If you're one that's been wondering and walking around and going through a season of not really having direction or anything like that, this is the time and the season. This is the year to get directions, to get clarity from the Lord, and no more wandering and having a vagabond spirit on you and going from place to place, or put it like this, going from church to church, so to speak, or just out there wandering. But God wants to bring you into a place of stability. God wants to bring you to a place where you can flourish, and where you can grow, and where you can be planted and planted in the house of God, and where you can grow in your purpose, grow in your destiny, and be able to see what God has for you. The Word of God said, "I have not seen nor ear have heard, neither have entered into the hearts of men that which the Lord has prepared for those who love him." Notice the Word of God said, "for those that love him." And so I know those of you that are tuning in, those of you that are listening to this broadcast and listening under the sound of my voice, I know that you love the Lord, because if you didn't, you wouldn't be tuning in, you wouldn't be listening, you wouldn't even really be listening to anything to have something to do with God. And I just thank God for First Lady, my wife, Apostle Angel Flowers. Thank God for her, my teammate. And then we flow and move together in ministry, and that's what God has established from when Jesus came to set the foundation and came with an apostolic work and called for the disciples, and you know, he prayed and all night to pick the 12, and the Father showed him who to pick, and so he established teams, and when he sent them out, the Word of God said that he sent them out two by two, so he sent them out in teams. So God is still doing team ministry. God is still sending out teams to do a work for him, apostolic and prophetic teams, evangelistic teams. It's a team thing. And even in the body of Christ, there's no I in team. So God is looking for a unified church. He's coming back for a church without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. So what that means? That means teamwork. A basketball player, he cannot play without the team. So there's no kind of way that he can win a game playing out there by himself, trying to, you know, take all the shots and run it up and down the court by himself, trying to win a game. That's impossible. That's not going to happen. It's a team effort. Same thing with football. It requires a team. Soccer, any of you that's into sports, you know that it's a team effort. It's not a one-man thing. And it's the same thing in the body of Christ. It's a team effort. The Word of God talks about one part is not uncommonly than the other, so we're not supposed to treat that part which seems least. The Bible says it should be honored as well, and be honored as one of the bigger parts on the body. So in the body, put it like that. But anyway, the Word of God talks about, again, without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, that he's coming back for a church. He's not coming back for a denomination. He's not coming back for a race, particular race, color, or creed. He's coming back for all nationality, though, that worship him, that is born again believers, that have confessed Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Savior, that is sold out for the Lord and doing a work for him, those, and you will find those in each different nationalities and backgrounds and different classes that love the Lord, whether you're rich middle class or poor, but they don't seem to be a middle class anymore. All that because of the economy is kind of like being phased out. So it's either you're going to be rich or you're either poor. So there's not going to be no in between. So when you look at the Word of God, it talks about that. Jesus said that in Revelation, he said, I'll either have you hot or cold. If you're lukewarm, then I'll spew you out of my mouth. So there's no in between when it comes to the things of God. Either you're hot or you're cold. It's just, and the way that things are going now in this economy, again, either you're rich or you're going to be or poor. There's no more middle class. So, Father, we thank you. We praise you. We bless you, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the founder of Kingdom Builders International, Prophetess Teresa, Lord, and we thank you for Evangelist Hannah, God, in the name of Jesus, and those that are working with them behind the scenes and in intercession and praying, Lord, to make things happen, God, for the listening audience, God, so that they can have and receive the Word of God in the name of Jesus, Lord. It's an honor, it's a privilege to minister to your people, God, and Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord God, on tonight. Father, I just declare and decree a supernatural move, Lord, in the midst of your people, because you're the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Father, I pray right now on tonight, God, those that need a healing miracle, God, in the name of Jesus, I just release it right now. I want you to just receive your healing right now. This is the season. This is the year of miracles, of you receiving your miracle. This is the year of being in high expectation of seeing a move of God. Holly, I speak faith come alive right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor, God. Lord, I pray right now and come against the spirit of doubt and unbelief in the name of Jesus. And I release the fire of God on tonight. Father, I pray that you remove, Father God, in every home, businesses, God, wherever my voice is heard on tonight, in the name of Jesus, across the globe, in the name of Jesus, God, I release the mantle of deliverance on tonight, stirred up on tonight. Lord, let there be an open heavens over this broadcast, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I release your warring angels, your ministering angels right now on behalf of the people of God, and I thank you, Lord, for moving on the prayers of your people. I agree on tonight, according to your will, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Lord, even in this year, that no weapon that is formed against the church, no weapon that is formed against your people that shall not prosper, shall not stand. Lord, and you have, every time they rise up against them, Lord, you have given them the authority to condemn, God, in the name of Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that your people begin to rise up in the authority and the power that you have given them and exercise that, God, against the works of darkness and having done all to stand anyhow, and to stand anyway, in Jesus' mighty name. Most of all, God, we thank you, Lord, even for salvation on tonight. That's the most important thing. You came to save that which was lost in the name of Jesus. And we give you praise, glory, and honor, heal, restore, God, our broken relationship, marriages, homes, and families. Lord, deliver those that are bound, that have addictions in their life, God. I command them to be loose right now, whatever the addiction may be, God. You know what it is, drugs, alcohol, Lord, perversion, food addictions, God, in the name of Jesus, pharmakia, pharmaceutical drugs, Father God, in the name of Jesus, command them to be loose right now on tonight. In the name of Jesus, alcohol, addiction, alcohol problems, in the name, I command them to be loose right now. And I break generational curses according to Galatians 3 and 13, Lord, that we, as your word declared, have been redeemed from the law of the curse. Jesus Christ have redeemed us from the law of the curse. And Lord, we thank you for it, and we praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Thank God, amen, and amen. Amen. Well, bless God. We're going to get right into the word of God on tonight. And go with me, open up your Bibles, get a pad, get a pen, and begin to just write down, take notes. And I want you to go with me to 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, starting at the 16th verse, and what the Lord would have me to minister to you in this new year. I know many times we have new year resolutions, and some people come up, you know, well, this, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to change this in the new year. I'm going to stop doing this in the new year, or my goal is to lose weight in the new year, or to stop smoking, or this or that. It is some that we talk about what we're going to give up in the new year. And 9 out of 10, we end up not doing that. Why? Because we try to do it by our own strength and by our own ability, and instead of trusting and relying on the power of God and moving in that and standing on the word of God, that we can be able to accomplish that which we so desire and that which we so are believing God for to do, even in the new year. But I don't know about you, but I'm looking to fulfill those things, man, that God said that I would do in this new year. Amen. I'm looking to finish strong in the things of God that is ordained and assigned for my life, for my family's life, and for the ministry and everything. And I just want to encourage you, people of God, to still be in high expectations. I know many of you are saying, well, I was looking for God to bring these different things to pass last year, but I didn't see none of it happen and so on and everything. But you got to think back, if you was back in the Old Testament, under the Old Testament covenant, some of those, they waited 20 years and 40 years. And look at Abraham, how long he had to, he waited for a son in order for the promise to come to pass. Look how long Joseph had to wait in order for the promise to be fulfilled in his life. Because of the days being shortened and we're under the new covenant, God is bringing his word to pass, but he's getting his people in preparation. He's getting us ready so that we can be in position to receive and to carry out what he's given us, and not to thwart his plans. We know that the enemy is sent out and to thwart the plans of God, or assign demonic forces against the people of God to try to thwart the plans of God concerning the people of God's life and everything. Sometimes we can thwart the plans of God our own self. It don't take the enemy. And a lot of times we want to blame the enemy for this or that, or sometimes we over-spiritualize everything. We want to put God on everything. Oh, my, shoot, God told me to wear red shoes today, or we blame everything on the devil and say, you know, you stud your toe or something like that, and you say, the devil, you stop buying and rebuking the devil because you bumped your feet. No, that was you not paying attention, you being clumsy, and you bumped your feet and not paying attention to what you're doing. And sometimes, you know, we can get so super spiritual to the point where we like saying, you know, God said and God did not say. And we're putting God's name on it and saying God said and God didn't say and everything. So God is bringing forth balance even, you know, in this year, where the people of God are going to have a balance with the natural and the spirit. The word of God said first natural, then spiritual, but God is bringing a balance between the two. You have some that's so walk in the natural and so carnal, they don't have no spiritual bone in their body. They're legalistic, they're religious, they, you know, teach the letter of the law, which killeth. And but then there's no spirit of God there. Why? Because they're full of knowledge and puffed up and don't operate and be led by the Spirit of God and allow the Holy Ghost to lead them, and so now they're killing. And so, but then you have those, again, as you heard me say, they're so spiritual, and but there's no balance there, that nobody can really talk to them. Why? Because, you know, they're so stuck up in the, as you say, in the spirit, and they don't have no common sense. Is that they're just out there, they lost and don't really have no common sense and everything. But God wants, again, his people to have and to walk in balance. But what the Lord would have me to minister to you in this new year is about building the Lord a temple. And I know men have built temples, churches and synagogues and various things to honor and to worship the Lord and so on. But when God established the first church, what came first? It's a question to you. When God established the first church, what came first, the building or the person? That's a question that I'm putting out there. Think about it. Selah, the Hebrew word. Selah, ponder. Think about it. Meditate on it. So which came first, the church, the building, or the person? Okay, that's it. Some of you answered the question, and let me answer the question for you too. Yes, the person came first. Man came first. Remember when God, in the beginning, I'm just going to paraphrase and just get right into it and skip down. The Word of God talks about when God created the heavens and the earth and, you know, blah, 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 blah. Then he created the garden, and so he needed man to be a foreigner or a manager of the garden. So he created man, he scooped up the dust of the earth, and he created and formed man. And what the word said, that he breathed the breath, the ruach, the breath of God, God's breath, into him, in his nostril, and man became a living soul. And so what he did, he took the man and he placed him, he planted him in the garden. God sold him into the garden. And so man became a living soul, right? That's the body, the temple of God right there in the beginning. 1 Corinthians, I told you, turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, 3rd chapter, 16th verse, said, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you." So in the beginning, the Spirit of God dwells, that dwelt within man. But because of Adam, disobedient unto the Lord, broke fellowship and broke covenant with the Lord. And so after that happened, after God walked with man in the garden, and he had fellowship and relationship with his creation, which was broken, of course, I know a lot of times you hear preachers say, or those that don't teach correctly concerning what happened in the garden in the beginning, they say, well, you know, it was Eve that broke the fellowship, that sin, and that's why man is in a state that we're in, that's why the earth is in a state that we're in because of woman. No, God gave the authority to man. It wasn't until Adam had yielded. It wasn't until Adam willfully walked in disobedience unto the Lord. See, now Adam was sitting right there. He didn't say Adam was off somewhere else. Adam was right there when Satan came to his, when the serpent, Satan, came to his wife and offered this tempting plan unto her. And she was deceived. Why? She was deceived because God already told her, well, God already showed them, her and Adam, that they were, what, gods, little g, whatever, in the beginning. And so the enemy tricked them to play with, he was speaking a part truth and playing with words with Eve and kind of tricked up. And so that's what the enemy do. He tells you part truth, he tells you part scripture, and then he twists it up the rest. That's why it's very important for you to study and to know the Word of God for yourself. Timothy talks about this. Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. So that way, if somebody's speaking or teaching something in error, that by you studying the word of God and knowing the word of God for yourself, you will know when a person is going off. You will know. Why? Because you read the word of God. You've studied the word of God, and you're like, oh, no, that don't sound like being going into error. I've searched the scriptures for myself. I've read it and studied for myself, and no, that's not what they're saying. And so they have the Word of God, the living Word right there from the beginning with them, walking with them. The Word that said God's voice walked with them in the cool of the day, walk with Adam in the cool of the day. The Word was walking with them. And so here Eve didn't allow the enemy to deceive her. Whereas if she didn't have enough knowledge or something like that, and something, you know, that she needs to know, and that her eyes will be open when she partake of this and so on and everything. And she was already walking in a high place. But it wasn't until, again, it wasn't until Adam gave in, which caused the fellowship to be broken with God and between man. And now man's attempt, now we have in this day, after that happened, because of man's attempt, what we do now to try to get fellowship, you know, with God. And oh, afterwards, after over the years, you know, the generations had went by since then, the fall of man and you know, Adam and so on and everything, and it was man's feeble attempt to build through idolatry and building of tabernacles and temples and so on to try to get back to what was lost and what was given up by Adam from the beginning. So through things we've tried to build in order to try to get this attempt to get back close to God or to get this relationship with God through things. And I was saying that's not the way. He said, what I'm doing, I'm building temple of men. No more, I'm not building temples made by hand, that you are the temple of God. 1 Corinthians 3 and 16, you just heard me read it. He said, know ye not that ye are the temples of God, the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. The only way the Spirit of God can dwell in you, you must be what? Born again. You must have confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. St. John 10 and 9 and 10 says, except you confess the Lord God the Lord Jesus with thy lips and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And how is it going to happen? Confession from your lips. And then you have to believe. And that's how you're saved. And you must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's the only way that you can be saved. And then you are become a regenerated soul. And then the Spirit of God, you be filled with the Holy Ghost. And the Spirit of God dwells on the inside of you. And now you're the temple of God. And that's what God is doing through the years, through the temples and then tabernacle and offerings up to the Lord. It became a point that men was doing these things, and their heart wasn't even in it. They'll go up, and the priest would go up and offer the sin offering and different kind of offerings and stuff, and then that's when God got to a point and said, you know what, it's no more, no more. No, I don't want no more offerings of sacrifices and shed blood and this and that. And your attempt, you say, you know what, you shall be my people, and I shall be your God, and I will write my words and my laws upon your heart, the tablets of your heart, the laws of flesh, upon your heart. So that means God is saying that I want a relationship with you. I want to be intimate with you. I want to be close to you. That's why I'm showing you how that I want to be close to you, not outside of you, as I, you know, had attempted to, but you couldn't handle my presence. You couldn't handle it. Remember when the children of Israel came from out of Egypt, Moses brought them out of Egypt, and they were out in the desert, and the Lord God told Moses to prepare the people because I'm going to come down and visit them. He told them to have them to sanctify themselves, and when Moses did that, they sanctified themselves, and matter of fact, sanctification, to be sanctified is not a denomination. A lot of times, you know, people that see someone that is spirit-filled, tongue-talking, as you say, Holy Ghost-filled, I'm like, oh, you come from a sanctified church. No, every church that's in the body of Christ is supposed to be sanctified. And sanctification is basically is that being set aside, set apart. You're supposed to be set apart, set aside from the world. It's not a denomination. If you are in your local assembly, if you are in a denomination, you are supposed to be sanctified. You're supposed to be ye separated, as the Word of God said. And, you know, in this world, but not of this world. So that's what sanctification is in. We sanctify ourselves through fasting, through prayer, and even according to Romans 12 and 1. The Word of God said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. So when you're presenting your body as a living sacrifice, holding yourself unto the Lord, what you're doing, you're sanctifying yourself unto the Lord. And so when God said, you know what, I want to live inside of you. I don't want you no longer you come from you. You can handle. When I did come down to visit you, the people started crying out, saying they didn't want God to come down and be in the midst of them, but they couldn't handle it. They got scared and terrified and stuff. They said, Moses, we just want to see you. God can speak through you to us. You know, we don't want God. You know, and that's how it is still the same today. You have people now to this day that don't want God, that don't want the presence of God, that want to go about doing whatever they want to do and don't want God in their life or want him. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son for us so that we would not die in our sin. The whole plan is salvation. The whole plan is that the Father wants a family like it was in the beginning. That's why he created the garden in the beginning, because of in fellowship. That was the beginning of the building of the temple in the beginning. Fellowship, family in the beginning. And God still want that, and that's what it's going to be when all this is all over with, or when everything, everyone is judged, small and great, when the stand before the great white throne and books are open. When it all boils down to it, it's all leading up to family. Those that have died in the Lord, those that you know, whether it was a family member or someone, a saint of God in the church, man of God, woman of God, that have died in the faith, that have was sold out, that have lived for the Lord, and they're in heaven right now, and just say, you know, you. And what is the whole thing is you want to see your family, that you want to be reunited with family, you want to be reunited with your brothers and sisters in Christ that have died and went on in the Lord before you. And you're looking forward to seeing, you know, of course, you know, God, Jesus, the first ones. Amen. Is to see the Lord. Yes, you want to see family. You want to be with family members. And I hope you have a heart that you don't want to see your loved ones go to hell or see people go to hell. And you have a heart that you want to see those and to pray for those. Salvation of men. That's the purpose that we are here. Amen. Not only just fellowship with the Lord, but so that we can spread the good news of the gospel so that someone can know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, so that they cannot have an opportunity to stand before God and say, well, nobody told me. I didn't know, or whatever. Man is going to be without excuse. Jesus said the end is going to be when the gospel have been heard and preached all around the world, the globe, to every creature, hearing of the gospel, and man is going to be without excuse. And you see that even as I believe it was Daniel, he talks about the word of God said that our knowledge shall increase, and that's what's happening in these last days. Knowledge is increasing, technology is increasing. They're coming out with more and more high tech things, and so on. And so the gospel is getting out, as you see through iPads and stuff like that, and iPods, and not only tracks, television, radio, and what you're listening to now, internet, global, radio, the gospel is getting out. All kinds of ways the gospel is being spreaded and getting out. Now, they say the gospel, the Bible, is the number one selling Bible of all time, always going to be number one. You know, they always say the number one seller, the best hook. Hit this book and that book. No, the Bible is the number one still selling book, still going on and still going strong, regardless. But again, getting back to fellowship and with the Lord, and the Lord building a temple, he's building men so that he can use us, so that we can be vessels for him. Remember, it was limited just to the priests and to those that God have assigned. As you say, the Levites back then, they those that were assigned to the temple and the priests and so on to be able to go before God and do these duties, priestly duties and everything, and they were just limited. God said, you know what? No, I want everyone to be able to have access to me. I want everyone to be able to come to me and be able to seek me and be able to cry out unto me. If we were still in those days where you had to have a priest to go before God on your behalf of your sins, many of us would be in trouble today. We'd be over vacationing somewhere and we done messed. Now we looking for a priest. We done fell short. Oh, that's messed up. You're gonna be messed up because now you, I'm looking for a priest. I need to offer up my sin for my sins. I need God to forgive me. And then I can remember the enemy had me so tricked growing up, watching a lot of movies and stuff, and no offense to, the Catholic Church and everything, but you see those giving their last rites and everything, the person was in a car accident or got shot, and, they sitting there breathing somebody, get a priest, a father, come over and son, you want to say your last rites and stuff, and they, go on and have them say their last rites and all that. And I'm telling you, the enemy had me so deceived, even though, I was brought up in the church and everything, but my mind and my thinking was just so messed up. I didn't have no relationship with the Lord. I wasn't, taught relationship, because you have those that are sitting up in church on their way to hell and just going Sunday to Sunday, Bible study and this and that, but still there's no relationship there. They're not being taught a relationship with the Lord. They just go in there and sitting there and warming up the bench, the pew at the church and everything. And that's what I was doing. Wasn't taught a relationship, wasn't taught to commune or fellowship with the Lord. I thought, hey, God was going to, would something happen to me, I was going to have wide arms to receive me entering into heaven. But guess what, my friend? I was on my way to bus hell, wide open all the way through, all the way falling straight through China and Australia on the other side, busting out through hell and the earth. And because I thought I was doing my little good deeds and all that stuff, giving a little change to the homeless person here and there, helping the elderly woman carry her bag here and there, or show up at church on Easter, so around Christmas time, I thought I was doing God a service. and thought that that was my ticket to get me into heaven, or because I believed in Jesus, but I did not live the life. I did not have a relationship with him. I did not live the life. I was doing everything under the sun. I was doing the what they teach, once saved, always saved. That's what I was brought up under, once saved, always saved. So I figured, hey, I'm saved. I can do anything that I want. All I do when I get into trouble, call on the name of Jesus. But guess what? I was on my way to hell, my friend. And then you have some teachings out there that you're not, you turn on your television, you see right now a lot of grace teachings about, you know, the eternal salvation. You cannot lose your eternal salvation once you give your life to the Lord. But there are many scriptures talks about your name being blotted out in the Old Testament and in Revelation in the New Testament. And but you notice those are not being spoken on because there are some things that you can do that can get your name removed from the book in heaven. But getting back to building the Lord a temple. And so that's why God, in God's quest is the quest for the souls of men. And God uses vessels. God uses men because Jesus already came to do, he came to do his part. So now he's looking for us to do our part. And so, you know, yes, God wants to see us blessed. Yes, God wants us to have the desires of our heart. But we got to remember why are we here? What's the purpose that we are here? What our assignment is, what our mission is in this year. Now, a lot of times we can get sidetracked because while we're pursuing, we're building, you know, our businesses, we're trying to build, you know, career in the workplace, trying to, you know, make it up, you know, the ladder and so on and everything, and we're doing other things, you know, building other things other than the things of God. And so that's what God wants us to do in this year, to get back focused and to realign concerning the assignment. I know the enemy have did everything and tried to bombard you with distractions. You know, many of you had went through failed relationships, or your families and homes have been broke up, and even some churches have been broke up because of the assignment of the enemy. God said this is the time to stay focused, and some of you have got bitter where you begin to blame God and saying, God, is it your fault? God, I served you. I did what I was supposed to do, but why you allowed this to, you know, to happen to me and so on and this and that. The word of God said we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of our testimony. God said you must go through as need be that you must go through. Why? Because God is building a character. And that's why we go through tests and trials in life, because God wants to cause us to see those things that are hindrances in our life. God wants us to see those things that are blocking us and keeping us from going higher, or even receiving what he has promised, or blessings and so on. Why? Because there are some things there. Or we can be walking in some things ignorantly and not knowing it that God wants us to see. And through fasting and prayer, God, these things begin to surface. These things begin to be exposed, and then begin to, you know, not, oh, man, I didn't know I was like that. Oh, wow, I didn't know I can be this way. Oh, wow, I didn't know I had such a temper. Oh, wow, I didn't know I can curse. You know, I didn't know, wow, I'd never been in the minis. I didn't know that just slipped out and so on and everything. So, and a lot of times you have those that have taught on fasting that, you know, the blessings and the benefits of fasting when you fast, but they don't, you don't have those that's teaching or saying that fasting is for you. Fasting is to show you, the mirror, you, what's in you. And what it's doing is flushing up. It's like a spiritual detox. It's like a laxative, basically, that you're taking to remove that uncleanness from out of you. And so as you allow the Lord to do that, and you're shedding off those layers, it's causing you to walk closer and to have a closer walk with the Lord, and being able to be used by God. Genesis 2 and 7 says, and the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And verse 8 says that, skip down to verse 8, says, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Again, as you heard me say earlier about this is the garden. And you have an assignment in that garden God is giving you to do. And it's your spiritual assignment. And you have to carry out that assignment that the Lord has given you. This is not the time to be down and out or to be distracted, but this is the time to say, you know what, I'm going to gird up my loins, I'm going to shake off the dust, I'm not going to have a pity party anymore, but I'm going to be focused and driven about what God is having me to do in this year and even in this season in my life. Some of you have great works to do for the Lord that God has called for you to do. That's why you have been under a tremendous attack. The enemy tried to take many of you out because he hated you so much he didn't want you to fulfill what God would have you to fulfill. Why? Because the assignment is a great assignment. The Word of God says to much is given, much is required. To much is given, much is required. And to whom much has been forgiven. So you've been forgiven much, you must what? Love much. And so many of us, God has forgiven us of many, many things. God is trying to perfect our love. God's trying to perfect some of our love. And a lot of times we pray, God, Lord, increase my faith. And, you know, Jesus got a little bit kind of upset with Peter, you know, saying, increase my faith. And Jesus, you know, letting Peter know it's not that your faith need to be increased. It's just you need to believe and you need to be doing something. And so with that being said, you need to be doing something. You need to be doing what God have assigned and called for you to do. There are people sitting back watching and waiting on you. There are people that are assigned to you, that God has assigned to you, and that assignment is not going to be fulfilled unless you do what God has birthed you here in this earth realm and sent you here to do is not going to be done. Nobody else can do your assignment but you. So it's just like you, a teacher. You went to school to be a teacher, and you're going, you got a job, and you're going, you're supposed to go and to teach in the classroom. But guess what? You're going to send somebody else in there to go and teach for you. And is this not what you went to school for? Is this not what you got trained for? Why are you trying to send somebody else to do what you were trained, what you was assigned to do? And so now you're trying to send somebody else to do it. Or you don't have enough confidence and think that you cannot do it. You can do it. And I'm not talking about, you know, God bless our president, continue to pray for him. I'm not saying, you know, yes, we can, what the president's saying. But what I'm saying is that, yes, you can through God, because you can do all things through Christ that strengthen you. I'm not talking about you can go and jump out of airplane, you can go run through walls, or you can go and know that you don't have no experience in fixing vehicles, but you know, you're going to go and attempt to try to fix a vehicle anyway, because you can do all things through Christ. No, I'm not talking about that. You know, some people literally think that they can do all things through Christ. No, he's talking about that test, that trial that you experience, that you're going through, that you can do all things through him that strengthens you, basically. You hear that, my friend? You hear that, daughter? You hear that, son? 2 Corinthians 5:1. It says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. You heard me talk about that, about eternal, that thing what we're preparing for a eternal destination, a eternal walk. You see, and that began to take place when you had confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. There are those of you that listen under my sound of my voice, that you have not given your life to the Lord. Tonight is your night to give your life to the Lord. You're not sure. You're not sure where you're going when you leave here. If you want to have peace with God, this is the only way. There are those that listen under my sound of my voice right now that you have tried to find other things to try to get peace through alcohol, through drugs, through working many hours as you can on the job just to try to get peace. Find yourself doing other things, even doing dangerous hobbies, so to speak, thrill seeking. Why? Because you're trying to find peace. You're never going to find true peace until you give your life unto the Lord. Jesus is the way, the only way, the truth. And don't believe the hype and let nobody fool you with these false doctrines, this new age stuff. There's many roads which lead to God. We all serving the same God. No, we're not serving. All not serving the same God. I don't know what God that other person is serving. especially, you know, in the new age, and you have these movie stars, the actors sing the song. You know, you watch them, they get up and say, oh, I want to give honor to God, and many of them not even talking about our God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. They're talking about another God, a demonic God. If you study and look at the history of many of these entertainments, they are caught up in the Illuminati. They're building the devil a temple. That's what they're building. They're not building God a temple. They're building Lucifer temple, the devil, Satan, Beelzebub temple. By us being an example in this earth, as the Word of God said, being a living epistle, read of and known of all men, being the example through our deeds and works and our love and that we show forth one to another, this is what's going to draw them in. And then not only that, but we got to show love to those that come into the church. Not beating because, you know, sister walking to the church, you know, their skirt is over your house. Somebody's coming up off the street and she may not be dressed, you know, appropriate or anything like that. But automatically we want to chase out of church or that person that's, you know, come in, this alcoholic, smelling like, you know, stinking, smelling, been sleeping out on the street and everything. We want to kick them out. Get out of here. Get out of the church. It's not that the church is not supposed to be a hospital, a restoration place or something like that. It's not that's what the church was. Did not God restore you? When you were out there in your mess, when you were out there in your sins, did not God extend, show you love and kindness? Have you drawn you? And so that's the purpose of God's Spirit dwelling and living on the inside of us so that we can show forth the love of God to those that are in darkness. We are the only light that they're going to see in the midst of darkness. They don't know the way. They're doing what's in their nature, which is being a sinner. When you were a sinner and living in the world and you were not born again, you were doing what was in your nature, and that was to be a sinner. Don't sit up and talk about them. Don't, they're going to hell, this and that. They already know where they're going. They don't need you to tell them where they're going. They already know where they're going. They're doing what they do. What they're doing is in their nature. It's because it's their nature. It's not until they're born again. And then plus can no man come except the Father draws them. Anyway, remember God had me minister on a message about can no man come except the Father draws them. And it still stands today. Only we can't, you know, preach fear tactic, amen, because that's just temporal. You're going to have those that's going to, you know, come, get saved for a second while, because, you know, you're preaching a fire and brimstone message and everything. They're going to come just out of fear. It's not going to be that fear reverence unto God, but it's going to be out of fear. And then, as you know, they're going to maybe come a couple of Sundays and that fall off. You don't see them no more. But it's not until, you know, the Spirit of God, the Father, it draws them by the Spirit is when they're going to come, when they're going to stay. Jesus said, in, I believe in St. John, the 17th chapter, he said, all those the Father have given me and placed in my hand cannot be plucked out. And so those are the ones that the Father has drawn. They cannot be plucked out. And so what are you saying, preacher? What I'm saying is, in this year, in this season, allow the Lord to establish you. Allow the Lord to build you. Allow the Lord to utilize what God has given you to carry the talents God has given you, the ability. Allow God to plant you in the house of God, in the place where you can connect with the local assembly, where you can be in the place where you can be part of, help fulfilling the vision that God has given man of God. And sometimes we, you know, you have those that, you know, feel like they know so much or feel like they're so gifted and so on everything. They come in into the church and feel like they know more than the pastor. If that was the case, then God would have made you pastor. But God did. God sent you there for a reason. There are some things that you need. You're part of that piece of the puzzle to help bring the vision to pass, not work against the pastor, not talk about the pastor. But why? Because you're going to be judged by doing so, putting your mouth on your pastor, talking about your leader, coming up against your leader, instead of help building the vision that God has given the leader of the house and not work against him. And so that's what the Lord is doing. Well, my time is rapidly running out, and I'm going to begin to close in a few. I'm not going to be able to get through this the rest of this message on tonight, but I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. Those of you that have been walking in fear, well, I'm afraid of what somebody may say or talk about me. You know, people told me that I'm not called, or God have told you, they have called you, they have chosen you. You have received, you know, how many confirmations do you need? God's not going to be giving no more confirmations. You need to get up and do what God is calling for you to do. I'm not talking about going out there being a rogue agent, get out there being rogue, and out there on your own, a lone ranger, and so on and everything. You need to connect with the local church, somewhere in the spirit field, Holy Ghost field, preaching the whole role. It will feed you. Is the word of God said, God said, I raise a pastor after my own heart that will feed you according to knowledge. You need to be in the house of God in this year. You need to be under a covering, those of you that's in ministry. And you know, you're out there. I know you have those that saying, you know, well, God is my covering. Yes, yes, we know that Jesus Christ is the head of man. Yes, we know that, you know, God is our covering. But what I'm saying is, what are you saying, preacher? What I'm saying is, I'm talking about accountability. You need to be under someone where you can be accountable to. I'm talking to you, pastor. I'm talking to you, apostle. I don't need to submit under nobody. I'm an apostle. I'm one of the highest calls. No, you need to submit under leadership accountability, be accountable to someone. That's why we have a lot of error going on in the body now. That's why you have those that are many that are leaving here before their time prematurely because of being deceived by the enemy. Because, you know, I'm the great one. I can do it all. I don't need nobody's help. You know, God called me. You know, I'm the whole fivefold. You know, you don't need to receive from anybody else. You can only receive from me. That's why God had the body, the fivefold ministry gift. He wouldn't have gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. He wouldn't have gave the other four ministry gifts besides, you know, the apostle for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. We need each office. We need a variety because one don't have it all. That's why Jesus came to establish that, to build the church. And when he built this church, he built it through men. He built it through the disciples, the apostles, which turned the world upside down. The apostles. That's what he built the temple through. If Jesus didn't notice, Jesus didn't, you know, go build and make himself no church or anything like that. Jesus, he went and preached in the synagogues, and mostly his ministry was outside the four walls. And most of his ministry was building men. I'm telling you, those of you that walk in the apostolic ministry of building is to build the people of God, to prepare them, to push them so that they can do the work of ministry. That's what it's all about, so that you can do the work of ministry. That's what the perfecting of the saints is all about, so that the gospel can get out, so that you can impact your neighborhood, your home, your community, the workplace, your city, whatever place of influence God may have you in, whether it's in media, whether it's in education, whether it's in the medical field. God wants to use you to be that light in the midst. You may be a well-educated person. God wants to use you in the midst to minister to those that are educated, because why? They're only going to hear those that's on their level. So God want to use you, educated man, educated woman, to minister. But don't get so puffed up. As the word of God said, knowledge puffed up. Don't get to the point where it gets you puffed up and arrogant. But that you want to have God, so that you God has blessed you with his knowledge so that you can be a witness and minister with his spirit, the presence of God, the Holy Ghost, so that it can impact those that are educated. Because you can be able to minister to them because they'll be like, hey, you know, why do I need God? You know, I have it all. I travel the seven worlds, the world wonders. I've been across the globe. Here and there, I did this, I did that, I had this, I had that. Did it, done it, been there, had it. You know, what God have to offer me? And by you being that educated person that you are, God have you there. You can let him know. You don't have peace. You don't have joy. They can be able to receive from you and hear from you. And you can begin to share your testimony. I had this, I had that. Yes, I have my education and such, but when I found out I didn't have peace. I didn't have joy. I was, money driven. love of money, but yet I didn't have no peace. I lost a family because of it, because I was just so driven with my, you know, my business or being an entrepreneur. It ruined my family, my home, because of it. But because I have a relationship with Jesus, because I have a relationship with the Lord, it's what the Lord is offering to you. Come on, what do you think Jesus was doing when he ministered to the rich young ruler? He said, you know what, all these things that I kept, he said, you know, from my youth, you know, what am I lacking? You know, Jesus went on to tell him that, you know, there's one thing that you're lacking. He said, sell everything that you have, give to the poor, and come and follow me. Jesus was calling him to the apostleship. Jesus was calling him to be one of his apostles. And he, because of that, all the money and the stuff that he had, he didn't want to let it go. He didn't want to give it up. So what are you willing to give up? Are you willing to give up so that you may build God? A temple is you. What are you willing to sacrifice? When you fast, what you're doing, you're sacrificing, you're giving up for the Lord. It's going to cost you something. So he didn't want to give up that which would cost him, which was going to cost him everything, and God was going to, I believe, was going to bless him and bless him beyond, you know, what he had, period. But God was just wanting him to see where his heart was at. So where a man's treasure is, that's where his heart is at. Where a man's heart at, that's where his treasure is. However you want to put it. It's what you so stuck on. You know, sometimes we can be so with our children. It can be such a treasure and idolize them so, and put them on a pedestal. We can be messing up with God because of it. We can cause things to be an idol in our life. Those sacred cows. So God wants to go in and be like Josiah, and have him go in and tear down these idols in the temple. And so I'm talking about in your temple, personal temple, in your life. And I want you to, in this year, go in, say, God, what I've made an idol in my life, in this temple, that I need to tear down, to destroy, to break, to smash into pieces. Because you said there should not be no other God, like they try to do. Was that Dagon set up and try to set the Ark of the Covenant in the enemy's camp right next to Dagon, their God. God caused that thing to small and to be broken to pieces. They got so spooked that they said, we got to get this out of here. I don't care where we go, we got to get it out of here. And that's how God wants to be with his presence so full of his presence that either it's going to draw, a person is going to be drawn to the Lord and want to repent and say, what must I do to be saved? Or they want to be driven away. So I have to get out of here, I have to get away from here. And being involved in a deliverance ministry, you know, those of you that can identify with me, my time is out, can identify with me, you know, casting out devils and so on and everything, and how you have those that try to run out, you know, the church, you know, try to run because they didn't want to be delivered. Those demons begin to have them to try to run. I would say, oh, this is too much for me. I can't take this. I can't handle it. I got to get out of here. Hey, ma'am, I'm sorry. My time is up. Well, I want to take this opportunity for those of you that may not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You may be maybe backslid. You want to give your life to the Lord. And God, I don't want you to go another year. You may have got discouraged because of what you've seen in the church or something just happened in your life that, you know, you just got discouraged. Maybe some things didn't come to pass like you thought it was, and you got discouraged. And, you know, like I said, you saw some saints do some things or some leaders or whatever, and it really just tore you apart and caused you to turn away from the church. God said, you know, I love you. He said, you know, I love you with an everlasting love, and I gave my life for you, and don't allow that to stop you from having fellowship with me and communing with me. God said that I'm going to judge that. He said, you know, don't allow that to cause you to stay away from me. Just repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, the Messiah who came in the flesh to destroy the works of the devil. You died on the cross for my sins and rose again from the dead. I now confess all my sins and repent. I claim forgiveness and cleansing. I believe that your blood cleanses me now from all sin. Thank you for redeeming me, cleansing me, justifying me, and sanctifying me in your blood. Amen. If you confess that prayer, you are now saved. The angels in heaven are rejoicing over you. I want to encourage you to get into a spirit-filled church. Get connect with those that are seasoned in the Word of God, and become a student, a pupil. And then allow them to mentor you. Allow the elders in the church. I want to mentor you to have the fear of the Lord and love the Lord. You know, to mentor you and go attend. Bible studies, anything that you can, soak up everything that you can. And I'd like to welcome those of you that have given your life, you know, that came back to the Lord. And now it's time for you to complete your assignment, what God has given you to do. And so with that being said, again, tune in on the third Monday of this month at 8 o'clock and listen to Restore Paths to Dwell In. I've been your host, Apostle Flowers, Ministry to Prepare to Breach International Ministries. If you want to get in contact with us and want to know what we're doing and have, you know, upcoming events and different things like that, you can do that. You can call our ministry line at area code 773-888-3356. Or if you need prayer, you can call on the line for prayer. And if no one answers, just leave your name and your number, and we will get back to you ASAP as soon as possible. We return all calls. And also, if you want to email us your prayer request, you can do so as well at scentworld@gmail.com. That's scentworld@gmail.com. Well, God bless you. God bless you. You know what? Actually, we do. First Lady just let me know we do. She got it set. We do have an event coming up March the 1st. At 6 p.m., and we are going to announce the location where this event is going to take place. So mark your calendar for that date. Make sure you mark it. Those of you that are in the Chicagoland area, the Windy City, that's where your hymn is broadcast from, the Windy City of Chicago. Those of you that are in the Indiana surrounding suburbs, South Holland, all over, you want to come from out of state, you're welcome to come. We encourage you to come to this event. Like I said, we're going to keep you posted of the location, but mark your calendars for March 1st at 6 p.m. for this event. Diamonds in the Rough International, which is my wife's ministry, Apostle Angel Flowers. Amen. So, again, get in contact with us. Again, area code 773-888-3356. Again, about our upcoming events, prayer, anything like that. And like I said, if you don't get anyone, we will return all calls in the order they are received. And also, like I said, you can email us your prayer requests as well at scentworld@gmail.com. Well, God bless you. Again, tune in on the first Monday of the month where you listen to Restore Paths to Dwell In, you know, our broadcast. And we thank God for you again, and even this new year, thank God for internet listeners, the landline listeners, cell phone listeners that have tuned in. God bless you. We love you. Be encouraged even in this year. Stay focused. Move forward. God, what is your purpose? What is your plan for me? I'm determined to fulfill that. And I said, as you seek you first, his kingdom and all his righteousness, all these other things that you have been designed of him will be added unto you. Why? Because your focus is him. Your focus is to finish your assignment, like what Jesus did. I came to finish the work, to do what my Father have sent me here to do. That is my meat. So let that be your meat, to do what God has sent you here to do. Amen. God bless you, and we love you, and good night.